Okay, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Innovations in Education. My name is Kevin Hogan. I'm editor-at-large for eSchool News, and I'm glad you have found us in this series. I hope you're enjoying them. With me today, I have Matt Reynolds. Matt is the Assessment and Data Officer at Douglas County School District in the great state of Colorado. Matt, how are you?
Great. Doing fantastic. Thank you for inviting me to this conversation.
Well, I really appreciate your time. As I was mentioning before the podcast started, I've been doing these twice a month since June, kind of following the conversations of how school districts have been responding to the pandemic and looking at different aspects of it. One of the reasons I wanted to speak to you specifically is because of your title in terms of assessment and data and how those two things work when school districts are in the middle of a pandemic, amongst many of the other things that have been disrupted, assessment and the use of data, which is always top of mind for more innovative districts in the country. Even some of those districts had to kind of put those things on the back burner just in order to get kids connected and try to set up some sort of remote sensibility. So as we get started, maybe you can just give us a little sense of where you are, where Douglas County is, your size, and maybe a little kind of a background or of, a year ago, you know, where were you when all this madness started and how has your district responded to the situation?
Absolutely. I appreciate the conversation. Assessment of data is always a fun conversation for me to talk about, for sure. I currently work in Douglas County. We're just south of the larger Denver metro area. We have about 65,000 students in our system, and we have a fairly good mix of both charter and neighborhood schools in our system. And we have really been, just like everywhere else across the country, been experiencing all different phases of this pandemic. We have had institutions of really all different phases of learning, the learning modalities, from full remote to e-learning options to hybrid to full in-person. We've really seen it all, and we've really done it all in the last 12 months, which has really, really made it interesting for us to plan and prepare. The one thing about a pandemic is it really has you reevaluate what your priorities are, as you just mentioned. Some of the projects that we had going at the time are no longer up on our agenda. And one of the things I never thought that I would do in a million years in my title would be looking at COVID data and monitoring that from, the number of quarantines, the number of positive tests to now, which is a great thing, looking at the number of staff that are getting their vaccinations. And so there's that other label of the title that it's not necessarily the focus of your conversation here, but it's just that kind of speaks to the levels of shifts that we've had to do in terms of our overall data needs. Assessment has been very interesting as well. I think we see that across the nation and in our state that, with the pause of assessments from last spring, that made it really interesting for us to determine what was the impact of COVID, what was the impact of the pandemic on student learning, because we had an entire school year worth of buildup, and the pandemic hit us, around the same time it did for the rest of the country in March, which we had a full quarter left. And so, we were really anxious to see what was the fruits of our labor for that year. And with having no assessment occur, and rightfully so, just based on where we were at that time,
sure,
we didn't get that data. We were able to execute and get some data from local sources. A lot of the same sources that teachers use to inform their work. And at that time, teachers were really scrambling, schools were really scrambling, and so were we, just to adjust to going from full in-person to a full remote stance.
Yeah.
And so data collection became really a secondary conversation to us because we were trying to really focus in on engaging students in learning.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about that shift. I'm assuming you're an innovative district in the first place, if there is even a person with your title on staff. I talk to a lot of districts that don't even have that sort of proclivity to be doing that sort of analysis. But I will I'll take a leap and say that maybe you guys weren't necessarily prepared for a pandemic when it came to shifting from in-person into a fully remote or hybrid situation. And how were you able to kind of adjust to that?
Yeah, if you think of the evolution from even January to March, was an incredible shift. You know, where people were thinking, well, this is going to be a 2-week thing, to wait a minute, we're closing schools down for in-person learning for the rest of the year. It was very, very quick response. And I would really have to give credit to really our school staff, our parents, and our students on just how quickly we were able to make some adjustments. We literally handed out thousands of devices for our students to be able to do online learning. We handed out hotspots for families to be able to conduct online learning. Many of our partners, our local partners, whether it's our wireless providers and some of our other business partners, really chipped in and helped us make that transition. And it was really, really fast. I mean, we went from this idea of doing a remote stance to, wait a minute, we're going to be doing remote for the rest of the year. And I would say, you know, from a person, we really had some great people step in and help. Our parents were very understanding. They were faced with the same issues at home. So how do I teach our children at home? And our teachers and staff members and school leaders were just so responsive last year, and all the credit to them that we were able to shift that quickly. But to your original question, I don't think anybody was truly prepared for the level of impact that COVID did have on our system.
Yeah. From the data perspective, you talked about your new duties in terms of collecting vaccination data, things like that. Were there other examples of that this past year, that data sets that you never believed that you would be collecting BP or for before the pandemic?
Yeah, I think there's quite a few, and it's not just new data, but also a shift in how you would look and interpret the data. Engagement became a very, very large conversation in the spring. Is as you completely shift from being in person to remote, it's how do we look at capturing data that would give us a window into engagement?
Yeah.
Engagement's a really difficult thing for us to measure directly. So it's about taking different data sets and collecting them together to paint a picture